You do not know how badly I want to just sit on that front pew and just all of us together just be worshipers. I've been very thankful to the Lord the last several weeks for this place. And God is honoring. By His presence among us. Sometimes it seems like preaching will just mess it all up. Did you hear the question that was read to you? Oh Lord, why hast thou made us to err from thy ways? And hardened our heart from thy fear. We wouldn't believe God did that, still does that, but He does. And He doesn't have to take an active hand or an active part, because God tempts no man to sin. All you got to do is just do nothing. Just leave us alone, and I promise your path will be downward through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. 'Twas grace, has been grace all along. That'll be our theme in glory. Psalm 123. Would you bow with me again? Holy Father, I thank Thee that there are still some places left on earth that You come, that You manifest Yourself, that You dwell in their midst. I thank You that You fixed hearts here, because if they were not, then You, O God, would not abide, and Your presence would be unknown here. I pray that You'd continue to draw us, that we might run after Thee. that you will continue to make Christ a pearl of great price, of treasure. That will, day after day, increase in its worth and value to the individual hearts here. And then we come to the place here to give thanks. And we pass far beyond ritual and ceremony and pomp, a display of man. But as loving children, as a loving spouse, we gather to worship. Lord, I know you've ordained preaching, the foolishness of it, and that's what it is. To all that are not saved, but because, Lord, thou hast ordained it, then we call upon you for help. Man couldn't speak. The children couldn't hear. Christ could not be seen. God could not be honored. If this was a gathering carried on by man, I pray you'd help. And Lord, that I might be faithful and that these might be faithful in hearing. And that they might be enabled by thy Spirit to get beyond a man's voice, to have personal dealings with thee. Help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The reason I said Proverbs 13 is because I wanted to begin with reading a couple of verses. A wicked messenger falleth into mischief. I've seen many laid aside, and I've seen many set down. From the ministry, I fear. But a faithful ambassador, only God can make a man a faithful ambassador. A faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. That's just to set it to naught. It's not worth my time. It's not worth the effort that I had to put into it to hear poverty and shame to him that refuses instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Folk lost. I'm fully persuaded to never be regained in our land. As far as our country's concerned, as far as the greater percentage of mankind here, lost, never to be regained. Reverence, silence, silence in my soul, silence in my mind, reverence for God has departed. The Lord is in His holy temple, Habakkuk 2. Let all the earth keep silence. Before Him. Still your hearts best you can, dear children. Raise your minds to things not seen. And sit quietly before Him. For He's in His holy temple. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth my footstool. You ever feel like Mary at times? You just sit down at the feet of Jesus and you're hearing Him. Psalm 46, be still and know. Get all the hustle and the bustle and the anxieties of life out right now. Be still and know that I am God. Or how about this? Be silent. Oh, all flesh before the Lord. For He has raised up out of His holy habitation. And the martyr about to die, death close, and he looked up and he didn't see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. He saw Him standing at the right hand of God. The Lord is raised up out of His holy habitation. One of His children was in trouble. One of his children needed Him. He's always there. All right, Psalm 123. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look into the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Do folks know you are a follower, a disciple of the Lord of glory, in that if they don't shun you altogether, they certainly are leery of your company? Why aren't you as we? We are religious. We serve God. Or as the testimony or your life brought about the frowns of men, the displeasure shown, our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease. I serve God. I don't have any troubles. Everything's well in my life. You must be a hypocrite. You surely cannot be right with God. Job, somewhere in the past, you have offended God greatly. You've sinned against him because God doesn't bring this to be upon his children. And in the end, God told those men, you take an offering and you go over there that my servant Job might pray for you. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the pride, of the proud. Verse number 1. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. You probably are convinced by now, by the numerous verses throughout Scripture, of the omnipresence. God is present everywhere, at all times. You know that there is no place that any human being can go that they are outside the presence of God. You are aware of that. And sometimes when there is not the awareness that God is near, trouble is nipping at your heels, and God seems so distant. Sometimes with the just naked truth of Scripture, there can be comfort. God seems to be, but I know God is everywhere. I do not sense within my being that God is near, yet I know that that cannot be true based upon what I know of God. And you can exist under the canopy of God is always nigh. But then there are times when the lamb needs to be taken up into the arms and carried. There are times when the mother sheep or the mother-to-be is so heavy with child that she cannot go much in an hour. And Christ must gently lead her along. Then if God is everywhere, in all places and all times, no tomorrows, no yesterdays with God. Well, you know, those that are asleep in Christ, their bodies in the grave, when Jesus Christ returns, some of them have been there for 6,000 years. But are any of you conscious of time? Asleep. And it will be to them, just like it is to those that are alive when Jesus comes, it will be to them in that instant as if they had just fallen asleep. God is with them this day. And when you get 20 years down the road, if you live, God already is there. So there are times that you can live just with the fact that God is. Even though it does not appear to you that there is a reality of the existence of God. You know, when faith was born, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. His father turned his face away from. There was nothing that Jesus, the Son of Man, had to rest upon, but a passage of Scripture. There he offered faith. And there sometimes God will bring you. But if God is everywhere, then why did God in Deuteronomy 16, or why does God this day require you to assemble yourselves together? If he's everywhere, why three times a year must all the males of Israel appear before the Lord thy God in a place of his choosing? He's everywhere. We can serve God plowing a field. We can serve God looking after the sheep. We can serve God cleaning the house. Why do we have to leave and go? Every place. You can't show me one. Every place in Scripture where one is brought into the awareness of the presence of God. You will see him or her humbling themselves with their face in the dust, with sackcloth and ashes, because they've just seen God. 1 Chronicles 21, if you could read with me. First Chronicles 21:16, and David, verse 16. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord. Most of the time, if not all the time, the angel of the Lord has reference only to the Lord Jesus. Saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David, a man after God's own heart, a man that has overcome Saul and all his attempts to kill him. David, a man that has lived under the awareness of God. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. Seeing God, heart after God, yet in that special moment when God appeared, he's on his face. Verse 20, and Ornan turned back and saw the angel and his four sons with him hid themselves. Seeing God. God is of such a nature that we can't stand in his sight. We can't look on God and exist. When Manoah brought that offering and offered it unto that angel that was the messenger of God to he and his wife or to his wife, when Manoah offered that and he saw the angel wondrously ascend up in the flame of fire, then he fell on his face and said, surely we shall die. He thought he'd been talking to a man. But when he saw that that angel was far superior to a human being, he thought, we're going to die. For we have looked into the face of God. Can't live now. Publican, Luke 18, standing afar off, publican, would not lift up his eyes to heaven, afraid he might get a glimpse of God on the throne or the holiness of God, and he knew what he was. The publican, standing afar off, would not lift up his eyes, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That man left the worship place that day right with God, while the Pharisee left condemned. The Spirit of God is continually leading a child more and more out of himself, more and more unto the place of worship. While, 2 Corinthians 4:18, while we look not at the things that are seen, or the things that are seen are temporal. So we look beyond land, we look beyond houses, we look beyond occupation, we look beyond families, we look beyond relationships, because they're all going to disappear. Everything you see is temporal. And we look at that which is not seen, which is eternal in the heavens. Only God can give you such a sight as to look out beyond and into the realm of the eternal and bring you to see the face of God. Only God can do that. Every time Moses is read, there's a blind upon the eyes of the Jews, even until this day. Somebody speaks to him about Jesus. They say he was a great teacher. He left us a good example to follow. But they keep looking for the appearance of God because the blinds are upon their eyes. Only God can open your eyes so that you can see. Lord, Elisha said, my servant's over there in the corner. He's awfully nervous because of the king of Assyria, of the Syrians, and the mountains round us full of horses and chariots. Would you open his eyes? And that servant looked up, and he saw beyond the great host of the enemy, he saw chariots of fire on all the mountains round about him. And then he could rest. So a saved sinner is enabled in time to look out and look away from all that he or she is in Adam and look to that prized possession of what they are in Christ Jesus. There, in the quietness and stillness of their heart, they can bow the knee to God to give thanks and praise, hopefully somewhat worthy to be received by Christ for his person and for his work. Lift up thine eyes. You've got to look away quite oft, or you'll get them filled with bubbles. And when you lay your hand on them, every one pops. All floating through the air, sunlight hitting them brings out colors in them, but you can't touch them. Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy, O crucified, slain Lamb of God, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue. Redeemed us unto God. Folk, it is only from a realized poverty of your soul, wherein the Spirit then takes not the natural eye, but the eye given by God, and fixes it solely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And though your hands be empty as to offer to God anything that might help, you have been enabled to lift up your eyes and see the Lord Jesus from that poverty of condition. There you say, God, God that dwellest in the heavens, our God in heaven has done whatsoever He pleases upon the earth. It's only from an elevated position that man's mind and man's heart strives to attain worship. I'm not interested in why you're here. I'm not interested in anything except you worship. I don't want you coming down here looking for theatrics in the pulpit. You know you're not going to get them. I want you coming with a still, quiet heart. And you sit on that pew and you, by faith, with an eye God's given you, are raised beyond what you are in Adam, and what you do, and what you think, and how you talk. You're raised beyond all that you are and do because of a nature of sin, and you worship me. The higher God is in your mind, the greater God is, and the higher and the greater God is in your mind and in your heart, the less there is of you, and the more you run out after and towards Him. If He's a great God, then greater will be your effort to attain unto a worship pleasing unto Him. Not how many folks spoke to me. Not how many folks saw me. Did God receive from me worship this day? Folk oft times, the Christian, as I said, I was as a beast before thee. That in the house of God, in the congregation of the righteous, I was almost in the midst of all evil. And the one thing a human being has that the beast don't is the ability to look beyond the moment in which they are in. And there are some brute beasts that have not the muscles that the human being's eye has within, that they can look upward without moving their head. Hog can't do that. The child of God lives beyond the present. That which is actual and that which is real. And he lives in eternity. Now there are times as a beast we can't look beyond present condition. But then, grief stricken, aware of sinfulness, burdened down. You got part B of verse 1. I lift up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest. He's always there. Always. He doesn't move. He abides in his high and lofty position. I know that he also dwells with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I know that. But his dwelling is in the heavens. The gods of people in our land, the gods, they got to be told what they know. They got to be carried where they need to be. They got to be shown what they need to see, not God. And it takes energy to get to the gods that they have formed, not the child. It took a little physical energy for you to get here, but it doesn't take any energy to get into the heavens where God dwells. Elijah made fun, he mocked the prophets of Baal. He said, you ought to be louder. Pray a little louder. He might be asleep. Or he might be on an errand. Or he might be, and this is literal, as Elijah speaks, he might be in the restroom, in the bathroom. Jump about. Cut yourself. Perform. But the children will always find him to be where he said, that is dwelling in the heavens. These words spake Jesus, John 17, 1, the great high priest. He's entered into that holy place. Once and for all. These words spake Jesus and lifted great high priest, man, lifted up his eyes, subservient to God as man, and yet God, very God, In that body of flesh and blood and bones. But he lifts up his eyes. And he begins speaking to God on your behalf. And now God tells you, you lift up your eyes. And you see the Son of Man that is very God. You exalt him. Atheists, infidels, unbelievers cannot lift up their eyes, for there is nothing higher than themselves. A proud man cannot look outside himself, for every proud woman. For everything terminates upon them. Now listen to the cry of the rich man in hell. He never lifted up his eyes here. His eyes never saw beyond present. He wasn't able to look upon that which cannot be seen. And for the first time ever, His eyes looked outside himself. In hell he lift up his eye and he thinks, okay, I need a drop of water. You can't have it. All right. Second request, Father Abraham, send somebody from the dead to go back and to preach to my brother. Do you think that his nature changed in hell? Do you think that finally he started thinking about somebody besides Seth? No. He's carrying his depraved, fallen, selfish nature with him. You know what hell is? A bottomless pit. I've woken up from dreams where I was falling off this large mountain. Scared to death. Do you know that there is no end to falling? And the nature that you have goes with you. And he was as selfish in hell as he was in life. He didn't care about his brothers. He just didn't want them to go to hell because it would add to his torment based on how he had lived before them. You know how you endear? Moses endeared as seeing him who was faithful. He's always looking beyond present reality that is only temporal. And he saw him. Now listen to what God said. Psalm 32. I will instruct thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And I will direct thee or guide thee with mine eyes. Two things got to happen. I got to see that which cannot be seen. And I got to look into the very face of God. That's where his eyes are. And I had a third. I am of a sinful nature. I do not have a righteousness equal to that God demands. And a sight of the face of God would destroy anyone. But the children have been able, through the Lord Jesus, to look into the very face of God. And there's a great multitude of people that have gone before. And the apostle said that we must be faithful and run with patience the race set before us. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus. How many will make it here, I do not know. I know that everyone here that makes it will endear to the end, looking unto Jesus. And when these things begin to happen, lift up your eyes and look, for your redemption draweth nigh. I close with this, Titus chapter 2. Mr. Psalmist, are you brave enough? And are you bold enough to dare make a statement like you will lift up your eyes to see God? And that we must. We must. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, grace is the teacher. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking grace in the heart. Amazing grace causes us to ever be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. A view of God in His entirety. That is, Christ returning will destroy every human being on the face of God's earth except those who see Him now. We all, 2 Corinthians 3:18, with an open faith, not like the Jews, that when Moses is read, their eyes are blinded. We all with an open face, looking in that glass, seeing the glory of the Lord are changed from image to image. And from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. You come in here differently every week. More mature, more like Christ, having seen more of Him. You're changed. And it's this changing that is making you a fit vessel to look direct. You see in a glass, you've got on shades and dark glasses now because the light would destroy you. But you're looking and you're seeing and that's changing you. God help this poor religious nation that's going on with their little religious deeds. Never seen God. Never seen Christ. Never looked directly into the face of God as is seen in Jesus. And they go out of the church building exactly like they went in the church building, unaffected in their soul. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. All the way back, Paul goes to Genesis 1 when God said, let there be light. For God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts, into our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You dare look into the face of God, you must. But I am so unworthy. You must get beyond that, not because of what you do, but because of what Christ did. And though it might be a trembling and fearful sight, you must get there. For it is only there that you're being made a fit vessel for eternal glory. I will lift up mine eyes, the psalmist said, unto the hills. That doesn't mean he's going to go somewhere where he can look maybe to the top of the Rockies and see if God's there. It means just sitting in his chair or on his knees. He's lifting his eyes far above reality here, which is only temporal. And he's seeing God above. Tim, you come lead us in our closing hymn.